Right. Well, praise the Lord for that special tonight, and what a blessing it has been being in church on this Sunday evening. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Philemon, as on Sunday nights we've been going through and studying on the divisions of the scriptures, the divisions of the Bible. We started in the book of Genesis. We went through the divisions of the Old Testament and why they're in divisions and why we have every book in each division. And then we got into the New Testament. And right now we are in the epistles of Paul, the Pauline epistles. These were the letters that God used Paul to write. He wrote most of them to churches, but also he wrote to individuals. And this one he wrote to Philemon. Now, I believe that Paul wrote many letters to a lot of different people, but those that were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God are those that are in the Bible. These have been preserved by God because it's God's message to New Testament Christianity. And so we have these letters of Paul, these epistles, and that's what an epistle is. It's just a letter. And God has preserved them for us so that we might learn biblical principles and truths to live by as God would have us to live by them. And so Philemon, this letter was wrote to Philemon to teach us a message, as it was also written to Philemon to help Philemon on some things as well. Now, this is one of Paul's prison epistles as well. It's one of his epistles, but he was in prison while he wrote this message to Philemon. It's a story of a slave who had robbed his master Philemon, fled to Rome. While in Rome, he met Paul. Paul met him, and he was saved. And then Paul sent him back to face Philemon. And so the first half of this has to deal with the character of Philemon and getting ready to do what Paul is going to ask him to do. And the second part of it would be that which is describing Onesimus and the change that came over Onesimus's life as he got saved. And so hopefully it'll be a blessing to you as we study this and preach this. And so go ahead and stand with me. This is a very short letter, a very short book in the Bible. And so we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 21. And then in verse 22 through 25 is just Paul's conclusions there. But the message of this letter is found in verse 1 down to verse 21. And so the Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God and making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Okay, now that's building up and that's helping us to see who Philemon was. Now, in verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. For now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, special to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self, besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, we thank you for just the privilege of being in church tonight, for the blessings that we've already received. And now as we've opened up your word and we are looking into this book of Philemon, God, I know that you have a message for each one of us tonight. I pray that each one here would just open up their heart and their mind to receive what you have for them. Empower the preaching once again of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, at this particular time in history, slavery abounded. And many would look to this, and more than likely that Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. Now, Rome embraced slavery and had strict laws to protect slavery. Was slavery of God? Would God have blessed that? I don't believe so. Although, we know that that is what was taking place at this time, but when Jesus Christ would come, he would help us to see that God loves the world. God is no respecter of persons. And so no matter what society is doing, we live in this world, we live in society, but to have a Christian view of things is we need to know that every human being represents a soul that Jesus died for. And we should be no respecter of persons either. We should have a love for humanity as God has a love for humanity. And we should treat everyone as equal. We really should. We should not look down on anyone. We should not put ourselves above anyone. And so we find here that I believe that Philemon was a godly Christian man, but possibly was somewhat ignorant of the fact that slaves had souls that Jesus died for. And that they needed to treat them as human beings. No matter what kind of position they held, no matter what kind of job they have or what it might be, we should not look down on anyone else because they do not have the job that you have or they have a lesser income than you have or whatever it might be. And so I believe that as we look to this book of the Bible in Philemon, it helps us in knowing how God would have us to address people. And so the first thing that we find here is Paul wants to exalt Philemon concerning his character. He was a good Christian man, no doubt about that. In verse 1, we find here, he says, "Dearly Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." This was somebody that Paul says, "I love you." Paul had a love for this individual, and as well, Paul had served in the Lord with this individual in accomplishing what God had placed him on this earth to accomplish. And so we find that he was part of the church, he was part of the ministry of Paul, and based on Paul's testimony, Philemon was a close friend to Paul. Now, you can tell much about an individual, or I would rather look at it as we can tell much about ourselves by who we choose to be around, by the friends that we keep. And I was in the youth ministry way back when, a long time ago, but the young people are the same today. You take your group of young people to a camp, and you have other churches bringing young people to the camp, and the different ones find each other in all the other youth departments. You have those that are taken to and drawn in together that are the more spiritual group. You have those that are drawn together that are the rebellious group. look at yourself as far as how you see yourself. Look to who you like to be around. It doesn't change. I mean, we see it very clearly in children. We see it very clearly in high school, in the high school department. But we also can see that in our adulthood, in life. And so because of that in itself, we find that Paul loved this man. This was a man that was after the very same character as the Apostle Paul. I love what the book of Psalms says in Psalms 119. Let me just read it to you. But in Psalms in chapter 119 and verse 63. Get over there and just read it to you here. The Bible says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a companion. I want to be around people who love God. I want to be around people who want to live for God and wants to serve God. That will tell you a lot about yourself. If you want to be around the church people, if you want to be around saved individuals, you want to be around people that love God and actually live like Christ would have them to live. That's a great testimony as to who you are. That's the kind of people that I enjoy being around, a blessing. So we find here that Paul, that's what Paul is writing, and God has preserved it for us to see, is that he was dearly beloved and a fellow laborer, and Paul would pray for him on a regular basis. That's what Paul reveals to him. He was loved by Paul and had worked with him. So that tells me a lot. If this is one of Paul's close friends, he's in Paul's circle of friends. Can I tell you, the Philemon was a godly man. He was of good, godly character. He had a Christian family devoted to Christ's church, which also reveals to us much about the character of Philemon. And also, if you want to look and view your own spirituality, is going to be seen in what you think about the church. Here we find in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia. Apphia was his wife, would have been Philemon's wife. And we find here, and Archippus was his son, who would become the pastor of the church at Colossae. When you read the book of Colossae, you find that out. And the Bible says, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in thy house. This particular time, the church was being persecuted very strongly. And so they took on the chance of being persecuted by opening up their house so they could have a church in their house. So Philemon had a Christian home, a Christian family. They opened their house up to the church. He valued the church of Jesus Christ. That will tell us something about our own spirituality. How you look to the church. How important is the church to you? The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 5, and husbands, love your wives, but it says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe if we have Christ in us and we are living as Christ would have us to, we'll have a deep love for his church. Understanding the importance of the church, we find that as Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a very well-known passage of scripture, but I love to read it. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. It's a family of God. The church is a family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we mentioned that this morning. Not being at church is not forsaking it. Not wanting to be at church when we have the opportunity is forsaking it. If I have the opportunity, amen? I've always wanted to, after I rededicated my life, I've always wanted to be in church on every time the church doors are open. There's something special about the church. Something special about the assembling of God's people. There's nothing else like the church. As you look around in the church, in any good fundamental church you can go to, you're going to find all different types of people coming from all different kinds of backgrounds. You see, we should not want everybody to have be just like us in the church. I don't want anybody to be just like me. I want to try to get you to be just like Christ. And what I want you to see in me is something that is more Christ-like than like Dan Tidd. You wouldn't like me if you seen who I was. Amen. I have a sin nature, as each and every one of you do, that if all we've seen is your sin nature, you wouldn't be much liked in the church. But when you die to self and you become alive unto God, then they can see God in you. Amen. And that's what we want to see. That's what everyone ought to want to be around, is others that are Christ-like. So we find here that that's what Paul is presenting about Philemon. He is wanting us to see Philemon as not a bad man. He does not want us to see Philemon as somebody that is against color or against others that are just not just like him. That's not it at all. Philemon was a godly man. He served with Paul. He loved the Lord. He loved the church. And then Paul says concerning verse 6 and 7 that the communication, or he says in verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So he showed openly a love for all believers, all those that would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing in Philemon, what made him good was Christ in him. Not who he was, but Christ in him. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He's part of the household of faith. He calls him a brother. He is just pointing out, and it's written down, God preserved it for us to see what a good man Philemon was. Amen. But at the same time, he might have been a little ignorant to the idea that the slaves that he had souls that Jesus died for. We look back over the history even of the United States of America, and we have not always treated everyone equal. Amen. And sometimes it's just out of pure ignorance. They did not see a slave that had been defeated and brought. They were there just to work. They were there. They were a little less than human sometimes. That's how they would view that. That's how they would view slavery, most that had slaves. God wanted Christians to view things a little bit differently than the world. Of course, today, fast forward to, 2019, and that's not that at all. We're almost going overboard on certain things. But the idea is we ought to love one another equally, as far as if you love as Christ loved you. Yeah. So as we love, we testify of our faith, and it will have an impact on others. That's what he's saying in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. As we've seen you love, it has impacted our lives. We have been blessed by this because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Because all the saints see how you love and how you support, how you give to other brothers, other believers. John chapter 13, in John chapter 13, Jesus addressed this. He says this in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Look at how Jesus loved, even wanted to be a friend to sinners. He was not a friend to sin, but he was a friend to sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We have the example of Jesus Christ and how we love one another and how we love even the lost. How we come to have a desire to see the lost saved and become part of the family of God. Bring them into the church. Amen? Yeah. So possibly Philemon needed to see slaves as being equal. And God has preserved it, maybe to bring an awareness to our minds and our hearts, how we're viewing other people. Well, then he changes and he goes to Onesimus. Now, once now he has presented and helped us to see that Philemon was a good man. He was a good Christian man. Now he turns to what he's asking him to do in presenting Onesimus. Onesimus is presented as a changed man. Okay, he says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient." Now, what he's saying is, I could command you, as you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive him, to love him, to accept him. That's the teachings of Christ. Paul's telling him, I could enjoin thee that which is convenient. It would be easier for me just to say, hey, this is what Christ taught us. This is what I'm telling you that you must do if you're going to be right with God. And you're going to do this concerning Onesimus. But then he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I don't want you to do it out of command. I want you to do it out of a heart's love. I want you to have a genuine love for humanity. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what I'm asking you to do as an aged Paul, as someone that has given their life to serve Jesus Christ. And I know the heart of God, he's saying. I'm in prison over the preaching of Jesus Christ. So he says, I beseech thee. I beg you, I'm begging you, for my son Onesimus. Now, was this Paul's physical son? No. He's talking about he had an opportunity to win him to Christ. And as he won him to Christ, then he would be his spiritual father, if you will. He'd be the spiritual son to Paul. And Paul would mention that throughout his writings about those in whom he would lead to Christ. So I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So rather, I beg thee out of love, knowing how it would affect me. That's what Paul's saying. So I don't want you to do it because I've commanded you to. That wouldn't affect me the same. But if you do this out of love, what a blessing that'd be to me. A twofold reason to forgive. We find a twofold reason to forgive right there. First of all, it is the right thing to do. It is the commandment of God. We are to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. We are to love others as Christ has loved us. We ought to be no respecter of persons as we're following the example of Jesus Christ. And so as we look to this, it would be something out of a command. This is the command. This is the will of God that we do this, that you love the unlovable, that you forgive the unforgivable, that you show and follow after the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have a love and a forgiveness for all people. I'll be willing to do that. And if you're going to be right with God, then you're going to have to do that. But you shouldn't do it out of just a command. You ought to understand the command. But we ought to do it out of a genuine love and how it will show others an example of the love of Christ. Others will be impacted by your forgiveness. Others will be impacted by your love. Isn't that something? Yeah. They'll be impacted if you do, and they'll be impacted if you don't. Your children will be impacted when they see how mom or dad loves other people, forgives other people, treats other people. Most of the problem in society today is children are raised with the ignorance of God's will for their lives. God's ways for their life, even in good churches. how we need to make sure that we understand the will of God and that we are an example to our families especially, but to others, our church members, our friends, our coworkers, that they can see Christ in us. Yeah. Then he says, he reveals to Philemon that Onesimus had changed. However he left, evidently he had taken some things and he had left as a slave. He had run away. But now we find that Paul says Onesimus has changed. He says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He was not profitable to you when he stole from you. He was not profitable to you when he ran away from you. I'm sure that you had hard feelings toward him, and you could have had him killed as a slave. You could have had him imprisoned as a runaway slave, which in times past was not to the unprofitable. But now there has been a change, even a greater reason to love him, a greater reason to forgive him. But now it's profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Now, evidently, what's happening here is Paul understood what needed to be done. Paul writes this letter to Philemon, gives it to Onesimus, and he says, take it back to him. Maybe to prove Onesimus's faith. To prove that he had just not just said some words, but he was genuinely saved and he was genuinely trusting in God and he would genuinely want to live and do as Christ would have him to do. And Paul writes it and he says, take it to him. I'm confident that he'll do what I'm asking him to do. And so Onesimus, more than likely, is standing in front of Philemon while Philemon is reading this. I mean, put yourself in the Bible. I love to do that and just get more from it. You see, Onesimus had changed because he had received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And now that he is a saved man, there is more accountability. Before moving forward in his Christian life, he would need to make restitution. He would need to make right what he had wronged, especially to another brother in Christ. Now he is writing to Philemon and he says, now he's profitable. He's profitable to me. I would have rather kept him here. I would rather him continue to serve me and I would have been benefited by his presence here. But I could not do that without your blessing. For him to move forward in his Christian life, he would have to do what God would have him to do. And so he would have to go back and make restitution for what he had done wrong. Wow. We have to believe, first of all, that salvation can change an individual. Sometimes we get so hard-headed. And they can be saved and they want to be forgiven because they say, and you're thinking, oh, you're not really saved. You just want to get by and you're just wanting to pull wool over everybody's eyes because if you say you're saved now and you want to make a change in your life, then everybody is supposed to forgive you. And sometimes we get hardened with that. But if you'd study the scriptures, you'll find that there should not be any limit on forgiveness. 7 times 70. I would rather err on the side of Christ-likeness than to err on the side of the devil putting blinders on me and hardening my heart. Somebody says they got saved. No one can tell somebody else that they're saved, but when somebody tells you that they've done what the Bible says they need to do and are saved, then you have to accept that, and then in time it will reveal itself. So now he is going back. That is a testimony that there was something genuine happened there. I believe that salvation can change. That's the only way that people are going to change. They're not going to change for the better in prison. They just learn how not to get caught again. Yeah. But when they receive Jesus Christ, they become new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God says he is a new creature. Old things are past, and behold, all things are become new. So when a person gets saved, he ought to be willing and ready to do whatever it is that God reveals to him that a Christian ought to do. For Philemon, it was to forgive. For Onesimus is to repent, ask for forgiveness, and then make restitution. Repentance must take place before restoration. And restitution is part of restoration. When you have an opportunity to make right something that you've wronged and you fail to do it, you have hindered your restoration. Wow. Proverbs chapter 6, let me just read to you. I'm almost done here, so follow with me here, and at least and listen to it as I read. But Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30 and verse 31. The Bible says, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. And I love that verse because there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but if we can understand why people behave wrongly, we'll have a greater heart to forgive. We'll have a greater desire to help them through whatever it is that they're facing. And so that's what men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. It doesn't excuse it. When he comes to deal with his thievery, he is to make restitution. He is to follow through and do everything he can do to restore what he has taken. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. No excuse. There's reasons. For the one, understand the reason, it might be, I'll forgive you of that debt you owe me. For the one that has committed the sin, he should not expect people to forgive him. I want to come back, and what can I do to make right what I have been wronged, what I have wronged you for? Don't expect that you don't deserve that because you're guilty of robbery. You're guilty of sin. Don't expect people just to forgive you if you're not ready and willing to make restitution for what you've done wrong. Every child needs to be taught to make restitution. If you don't learn it, it's never going to stick. You have to be taught forgiveness, making right what you've wronged, restitution, a willingness to restore those who have fallen. Wow. So the Onesimus has changed. Paul says, he's profitable to me, but I could not keep him here knowing that he's wronged you. For my sake and for his sake, I sent him back to you to make right what he has wronged. Galatians in chapter 6, and let me just read that to you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yeah. Oh, how we need to look to restore. It takes repentance, takes place before restoration. And a part of restoration is restitution, making right. Verse 15, go back there with me, and we're coming to the end of this. But verse 15 and 16, he says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. God allowed this to happen to maybe change your thinking forever concerning slaves, concerning other people. Now as a servant, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He can help you physically as being a brother instead of a slave. He can help you by being a friend instead of an enemy. He can bring something to your life as God has brought him back into your life, not only physically, but also spiritually. You'll be doing the right thing, and you can have the blessings of God upon your life because you're treating others as God would have you to treat them. God many times works things in our life, temporal things, for eternal purposes. We go through trials. We go through certain opportunities like this to affect us for an eternity, to help us to learn certain things. Then verse 17 to verse 21, Paul was confident that Philemon would do the right thing. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Jesus could say the very same thing. Forgive him as I've forgiven you. Paul reminds him, he says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Now say, well, wait a minute here. You're putting a little pressure on him, Paul. But no, I think what Paul's doing is helping him to think back to when he needed somebody to forgive him. He needed somebody to come up to him and put his arm around him and say, let me tell you about Jesus. And Paul would have had led him to the Lord, allowed him to be a brother in Christ, allowed him to love God and to raise a godly seed and to have a church in his house. I think he just mentioned that to get him to thinking and to reminding him that if he had not been forgiven, where would he be? If he would not have been loved, what would have happened to him? Would he have had the family that he had? Would he have the success that he had? Would he have the blessings? So Paul's just bringing back to mind. Think about how God's worked in your life. And then let God work through you in helping somebody else. Yeah. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul was confident that Philemon would do the right thing. What about us? This could be written to any one of us about somebody in our lives. Somebody done you wrong. And you're ate up with bitterness and anger. Maybe reread this and understand more of what Paul was saying of the character of Philemon. And when it came to a situation as an Onesimus in our lives, let's handle it the way that God, through Paul, wanted Philemon to handle the situation with Onesimus. And not only will you be blessed, but others around you will see that, and they will be blessed likewise. It's the will of God for our lives. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Yeah. I don't know. Put a face to Onesimus in your life. Put a name to someone in your life. Are you doing right by others? God has preserved this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon for us to learn from it today. Let's make sure that we are living and doing what Christ would have us to do. and dealing with others around us. Father, we bow before you. We do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for this book of the Bible. And Lord, how we can make applications in our own lives as Paul wanted Philemon to forgive and receive Onesimus not only as a servant, but receive him as a brother and work out whatever problems that they might have had between them. Pray that you'd help us to be willing to do that even in our lives today. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.